You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Heading to Detroit. Later today, ESPN Bet, True Green, sending us to the draft. It's going to be awesome. ESPN Bet is the official sportsbook of ESPN and the only place to find offers from your favorite shows and personalities like the great Stephen A. Smith. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. If you missed any of Drake May with us, you can go back on the ESPN app and listen back to the podcast, obviously, of that. I put out there at Evco Radio, important to note, Drake May just told us at Unsports ESPN that he eats ketchup with steak and eggs. Orlovsky has since quote tweeted that saying, only way.
I don't find it weird either.
I'm not a red meat guy, but people say that if you put ketchup on steak, it's a major red flag.
I feel like it's more for the eggs than the steak.
No.
The ketchup?
But he was very clear on the steak part.
Yeah, he said he grew up in the South and his whole family does it. So normally I would say, yes, it's a red flag. But when we're talking about a quarterback who does that and the greatest quarterback going right now in Patrick Mahomes also eats ketchup with his steak, to me it feels like a smart move.
Wait a minute. We have some interesting breaking news here.
Oh.
Didn't see this one coming kind of out of nowhere. Pete Thamel, ESPN college reporter, just put out there on Twitter at Pete Thamel, exclusive, Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back.
What?
ESPN has learned, with a formal reinstatement of the trophy coming today. The decision comes amid what the Heisman Trust calls enormous changes in the college football landscape.
About time.
Absolutely. Go off, Smalls. Go ahead.
Well, that was just one of the dumbest things in sports, to take his Heisman away. We all know he won the Heisman. The fact that he didn't have it, especially as the landscape of sports was shifting, it just felt like a very egregious thing to keep the Heisman away from Reggie Bush. I'm glad that that situation is being rectified. He deserves to have it.
Would you want it back if you're him?
Yes, it's the Heisman Trophy.
But let me explain what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is he was done so wrong.
Big time.
Because his so correct me if I'm wrong. It was his family that got a couple of bucks from a booster to pay for a house or whatever it was, which we know was happening all the time at a million different schools for 50 years in college sports.
He was not the only one.
He was not the only one in any way, shape, or form. And Reggie Bush, for whatever reason, because the Heisman for a long period of time was saying they're holier than now, they took the Heisman away from him and it was basically vacated because his family got a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
It's just the most ridiculous thing. And now with NIL and everything like that, they realize, like, wait, what exactly did we do here? But if you're him, you got to be annoyed by it a little bit and retroactively, or a lot of it, but he did release a statement by way of Pete Thamel's story. So,
okay, let's hear it.
Quote, personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family. Reminder, by the way, side note on this, all of the living Heisman Trophy winners are always invited to the ceremony every year, and they always stand there behind the winner for that season.
Yes, and he deserves to be there.
No doubt. I also look forward to working together with the Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization. All right, so he's taking it very maturely and professionally and is probably going to do things to help change this and the ridiculousness around this for years to come. But Reggie Bush to finally get his Heisman Trophy back.
What a classy response.
But you could understand if he went the other way.
Absolutely, which is why I commend him for taking the high road here. And it felt like the Reggie Bush situation was unfortunately him being a bit of a sacrificial lamb for the NCAA to try and gain some amount of power in that situation or exert a level of control. And everybody thought it was ridiculous at the time. It only got more ridiculous as the years went on, especially in today's world of college athletics where athletes are making so much money and we all unanimously agree that it's about time that they're able to profit on what they bring to a university that rakes in a ton of money off their work. So I'm really thrilled for Reggie Bush that he's getting his moment to be up there, not only be reunited with the trophy, but be up there on that stage as he has earned the right to.
It is so illogical that he had his Heisman taken away. It's so beyond comprehension. It actually, instead of getting me happy like it got you, it actually retroactively is getting me so annoyed by the ridiculous dopey rules around college sports for such a long period of time when, as you just said, we didn't see that year. We didn't watch that USC. That USC team,
dominant.
Rock star. That was as unbelievable as a college football team with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, Lendell White, Steve Smith, the wide receiver there. They had another wide receiver off the top of my head. Now I'm forgetting his name. But they had another great wide receiver there. And it was just such an awesome team to watch. And I may be getting my years backwards here, but the game against Notre Dame, where Brady Quinn was the quarterback at Notre Dame,
yeah,
and Anthony Fasano and all of our friends. Well, Brady Quinn's our guy. We love Brady Quinn.
Love Brady Quinn.
That game, to me, is still the best regular season college football game I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That note, I think it was 05, the Bush push, that game with Reggie Bush and that USC team against Notre Dame, Charlie Weiss, Pete Carroll, NFL guys going to college. Carroll was unbelievable. Charlie was coming off of the Super Bowls with New England. That was such an awesome game. Jeff Samardzija, who was a pitcher in baseball, obviously, and played college football. That was such an awesome game. And thinking back to, like, they tried to take something away from that is so absurd to me on so many levels. I know that today is a celebratory day for him, but I can't actually get over that now.
It's okay. We can be mad again. We can all of a sudden have to relive that, and the anger can come up. Because when I think about what would need to happen in order for that award to be taken away, to me, the offense has to be so egregious that you have to say that we don't want this person's name associated with not only this award, but frankly, with the sport anymore. And what Reggie Bush did, as we said, was not a standalone offense. It was pervasive throughout college football.
It was just
football.
We knew it.
We found it out.
Right.
But he is not the only one that we found out about. And anybody who knew anything about college football at the time knew that Reggie Bush was not the only one that was getting what's the term, improper benefits at the time. So for the NCAA to take the Heisman away from him, for the Heisman Association, whatever their official
Heisman Trust, yeah.
Heisman Trust, thank you so much. For them to say that offense was so severe that his trophy should be taken away.
It's so ridiculous.
Is so dumb.
Can I ask a question I should probably know the answer to? What did they do? Did they take OJ's away?
That I don't know.
No.
They didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah. I mean, they put out a statement when he passed. Yeah, they didn't take it away. I wonder, do they go back and give back outside of Louisville? Like,
oh, that was ridiculous, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you go back and say, hey, you know, like, you can't.
Lex can come in. We're on the air, but don't worry about it.
I told him he can come. I told Lex he can come in. He's good.
I would love to get his take on this, actually. America's analyst. I bet he has something to say about this.
Lex. Lex just knocked the table over. What is it? You're blaming the chair?
What's going on?
Tim Legler.
Earthquake.
Just knocked the table.
Do I have to analyze the height of the chair?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Do it.
Now we're at it.
It's very simple. Pretty simple. Don't wedge the chair arm underneath the table so I have to dislodge it and make you guys shake like an earthquake just happened. It's not that hard.
That's probably my fault, Tim, because I'm so short that the arms of the chair
go
underneath.
If you two are in the same room, I'm never blaming you, just
Thank
so you know
you,
that.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate
I'm
that.
Always coming at him.
Good, good. It's Evan's fault.
Yeah, I know, of course.
We just learned moments ago that the Heisman Trust, per Pete Thamel, is giving Reggie Bush's Heisman back to him. Because remember, they took it away because of the improper benefits that his family got with the house. One of the dumbest things of OJ still had his. But they took Reggie Bush's away. They're giving it back. I know he's handling this beautifully. We just read a statement from him. Would you be bitter if you were him? Would you want it back if you were him, knowing what they did to you for the last, however, 20 years, basically?
I think so. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Just a Heisman Trophy.
That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah. I think your pettiness or whatever it is, you're feeling resentment, bitterness, however you want to describe it, is probably out the window when you talk about getting that back.
Yeah, the honor that trophy represents is higher than your feelings.
No question about it.
Also, we had Drake May on, the quarterback, who I know you thought for a while was going to go to your Commanders.
Why was I not included in that interview?
You should have been. That was a mistake by us.
I think you actually got bumped for that interview.
Oh, is that what happened? I think that should have been a collaborative effort.
You're on next segment, but we're going to keep you for this segment, too, if you have time.
I have plenty of time, yeah.
Okay, so he said, I put it out on Twitter. It's now, I see a lot of people tweeting about this. that he said he puts ketchup on steak and eggs. Do you have an issue with that?
No, not at all. I know a lot of people that do that. Occasionally, I put a little ketchup on the side of my plate and maybe dip my omelet in there or something. So, I know I get it.
Well, the eggs part is fine. It's the steak that people
No, I've never had steak for breakfast in my life. So, I don't even understand why that's on menus.
Go ahead.
Don't get it. I'm just, you know, bacon, you know, pork roll. I'm good with either of those. But steak and eggs, I don't get it. I know that sounds ridiculous because they're all basically meats. But, no, I've never ordered steak and eggs one time in my life.
Wow.
Would you order breakfast for a lunch or dinner? Like, would you get it like an
egg? I'm the exact opposite. I prefer to eat lunch at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not a huge breakfast guy, man. Grab me a piece of fruit and a protein bar, and I am good until lunchtime. Yeah. I get disappointed if I walk into a place and they're like, we're still serving breakfast, you know, till 11 and it's like 10 of. No, I'd rather eat lunch.
Are you okay, Smalls?
Yeah, I'd rather eat lunch. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're telling me you would rather have a chicken salad sandwich or something at 9 a.m. than
pancakes?
Absolutely.
Give me a turkey hoagie at 8:30. I am fine.
A turkey hoagie.
Yes. You know what? I want to say something. I could not agree more. Why is it acceptable to have breakfast for lunch and dinner, but it's not if you and I at 10 o'clock in the morning wanted to go get pizza, why is that frowned upon?
People would look at us very strangely.
Why?
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
People eat pizza for breakfast.
But they'll have breakfast all day long, right? Some places. Not 24 hours a day, you can get breakfast. You can get an omelet. But, Mom, don't you order a cheeseburger
at
a certain time. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. You're preaching to the choir here, Evan.
All right.
I wish I had an answer.
All right, we're going to have America's analyst, Tim Legler, on with us next. Even though he's on with us now, we're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. No topic is off limits.
I'm going to have on pink pants, suspenders, little bow tie, some bunny ears.
No breakdown can be questioned.
What's the big deal? No, this is a big deal.
He is America's analyst.
Let's see, kid. Let's see. Good luck.
Tim Legler.
All right, Smalls, we have just put out our two-minute report, how Legler did with us the last 2 minutes. We liked his analysis of the table.
Yeah.
We thought his analysis of everything else was okay. We would redo a couple of things there in the Legler two-minute report.
Yeah, listen. I got a major problem with
the two-minute
report. I got a major problem with this. And I'm wondering if you guys agree. Because you think about any aspect of life, if this were the case. After the fact, you get all the information that you really needed sooner, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't affect you anyway. I compare it to going to a restaurant, ordering a meal, eating it, immediately getting food poisoning, throwing up on the table, and then right after that, the waitress comes over and says, yeah, you probably should have not ordered that. I could have used that information before I ordered it, right?
It doesn't change the outcome.
It doesn't change the outcome. It just makes me actually more enraged. Yeah. And I can imagine the collective anger of the people in Philadelphia right now reading it, because it's all stuff we knew. It doesn't help in any way. I understand the league wants transparency, to act like, you know, we're not going to act like this stuff didn't happen. We want you to know we did see it, and here's all of the things that really affected your team negatively. And it doesn't help the situation at all, and that's why I've really never cared too much about the two-minute report whatsoever.
It just kind of feels like our bad.
Yeah. What if this was like right after your divorce? Right, you find out all of the things. Yeah, we agree. She did this, 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 and this. It doesn't matter now. I needed that information a
you
long
didn't
time ago.
You know that they were going to cheat on you?
I mean, you know,
we all knew that. How do you not know that?
I needed that information expeditiously. It doesn't help me right now in the moment. It doesn't change any, or hitting a drive. I use this on get up right down the middle of the fairway. If you've never played this course before, it's a dogleg left, and you wrap it around perfectly. You walk up there with your caddy who has yet to speak to you, and you look, and the ball rolled into the water in the middle of the fairway, and then the caddy goes, yeah, you probably shoot as a 3-wood there. I mean, yeah, it doesn't help me now. I needed that information back on the tee box. And that is what the 2-minute report is for me. I just can't. I'm going to do some Philadelphia All Sports Radio later today. So, and I can't imagine right now the buildup to game 3, knowing how they all felt about the end of that game. And now the league comes out and says, yeah, basically you're justified in your feelings.
Well, okay, so a couple of things on this leg. All so, right. And this is about the Knicks and the Sixers, the 2-minute report that was released basically saying that the refs screwed up everything in the final 2 minutes of that game for the Sixers. So we know initially it was done because they had an issue with the referee and the rogue referee with gambling and everything like that.
Yep.
We now know the NBA has so many measures in place to protect themselves. We just saw with Jontay Porter. What is the reason currently for the 2-minute report?
I think it's exactly what I said, because there were too many instances where you saw all of these replays and the evolution of the replay and the number of angles, right, that you get in the arena. They don't miss anything now. And it's slowed down and it's zoomed in and it's high def and everybody watching the game knows what happened. And in the past, without issuing that, it was as if, because the league is not going to come out and rip their officials. So it would be as if it really didn't happen. And you know what you saw. And so that's what the league wanted to address. Like, hey, these guys are human. Mistakes are made. Here are the mistakes that were made. And we acknowledge that, thinking, I believe, that it would make people feel a little bit better. Hey, at least I know I'm not nuts.
But it doesn't count more than the previous 46 minutes.
In that case, it did. I mean, it depends on the context of the game.
Right, but in general, the final 2 minutes just means you have less time to make up for mistakes.
Correct.
The previous 46 minutes, a three-pointer counts as three, the same as in the final 2 minutes.
You're 100% right, but I guess, obviously, they're trying to reduce it to the context of these are sort of the game-defining plays. And clearly, that was the case in the Knicks-Sixers game. You're talking about the last 30 seconds of the game on a play that was very controversial in the fact that Tyrese Maxey was not able to get a call in that spot. By the way, there's no guarantee they win the game.
Right.
It's a one-point game. He's got to go make 2 free throws. Now it's a 3-point game. The Knicks maybe still win the game, but bottom line is you have close to 90% foul shooter going to the line in that situation if the call is made in the moment. And people just can't wrap their heads around with three officials how nobody sees the jersey grab. Nobody sees the bump by Josh Hart to knock him to the ground. Like, that's not caught by anybody. So the league just wants to come out and say, hey, mistakes were made. We get it. Here's how we saw it. And I think they think it's going to make people feel a little bit better. I personally think in a situation like that, it makes everybody more angry because now they feel like, well, how is it possible that those calls were missed?
I imagine a lot of people in Phoenix are angry today after Minnesota takes a 2-0 lead last night. Do you think Phoenix can come back from this? And if so, how?
I don't personally think they can, because when I watch the Phoenix Suns, like, I don't get the vibe that this is a group of guys that are going to like get into the trenches, roll up their sleeves and fight for their lives to get out of this. I just don't see that competitive will collectively. That's a mental thing. But then the physical domination is a whole nother thing. And that's what they're feeling too, because Minnesota's got 3 great perimeter pressure defenders with Nikhil Alexander, Walker, Jade McDaniels, and even Anthony Edwards. They're big, they're physical, they're quick, and they're funneling these guys to Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns and Naz Reid. Defensively, this in a league that I don't think there are a lot of great defenses, this is the one that you look at and say, this is what a great defense in modern NBA looks like, and it's very difficult for Phoenix to overcome. And think, they've got 3 big time, all stars, in some cases, in the case of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, superstar offensive players. None of those guys were exceptional last night. One of them has to have a chance to win a playoff game. None of them were. That speaks much more to Minnesota's defense and what it's doing to Phoenix mentally over the course of the game. That's why they've collapsed twice, like going down the stretch. They're not getting stronger. They're getting more demoralized because Minnesota's not going away with that defense.
We're talking with America's analyst Tim Legler here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. I want to go back to something you just said. You just said, and even Anthony Edwards when talking about defense, and that has nothing. That's not a knock on Anthony Edwards. You and I have talked for many years about a term in the NBA now that we both despise, which is, oh, that guy is really good as a two-way player.
Right.
That is literally the job of an NBA player. It's not the NFL. You don't play one or the other. You're supposed to play both. Yet you pointed out specifically with Edwards,
it's rare to have somebody that good on offense and defense now.
Yeah, it
correct?
Is rare, particularly when he's surrounded by a great defensive team. Then it's even easier for a great offensive player to say, okay, well, I can conserve myself because they got my back. That's not what Anthony Edwards wants to do. And I saw that in him early on. He has a look in his eye that's just different. He's got a competitiveness about him. He doesn't shy away from the challenges. He guards who he's supposed to guard at that position. That's not always been the case with star players in this league, particularly when you've got other guys like Jade McDaniels and Alexander Walker, who you could easily just say, okay, they're going to guard the better offensive player. Let's hide Anthony Edwards on this guy to keep him out of foul trouble, whatnot. To me, that sets the tone for that player, that that's not quite something we're going to ask you to do. That's not what Anthony Edwards does every night. He sets the tone because he wants the challenge. He wants to be the guy that leads on both ends of the floor. And I loved last night mostly about him. It wasn't his night offensively.
No.
At all. Did you see like the smile, the joy throughout the game? The vibe he was putting off to his teammates as a leader. He didn't care about what was going on with himself statistically. He cared about one thing, and that was making sure they held home court and get to 2-0 in this series. I loved that about him last night. The energy he was putting off as a young player not having their night. When you're starting to really emerge, and then you have a night where you're just not very good offensively, didn't seem to bother him one bit. I love that quality.
Karl Anthony Towns talked about that after the game, too, about how each person is willing to do whatever it takes and absorb whatever role necessary in order for the team to win. That's one thing I keep hearing out of Minnesota is about the team as a whole.
And I'll tell you one guy that never gets any talk. He's been one of my favorite players of his generation is Mike Conley. Mike mm-hmm. Conley has a direct influence on what you're describing right now. Mike Conley's a winner. Mike Conley's always been a winner. He's a leader. He's a guy that organizes them. So even though Anthony Edwards is going to be the focal point offensively and Towns, Mike Conley gets them organized first. And he makes sure that they catch the ball where they're supposed to catch it to run their sets. And just the way that he competes, the way he talks, his positivity, his making guys understand the collective. He played on teams in Memphis that maxed out who they were, very tough-minded teams. Mike Conley was the unquestioned leader of those teams. He's brought that to this team. And on a team with some young guys, you need to be good sooner rather than later to make a run. Mike Conley's been a big difference there.
Like, let's say in the Western Conference, 1-0, Clippers have the lead. All of a sudden, Kawhi comes back, and Dallas wins last night. I know you've loved Dallas before anyone else. You came on our show, went on Get Up before anyone was hyping Dallas, and said, watch out for this team. Clippers are really good, though. Is this bound for 7?
It feels like it. And this is the rare case that I wouldn't bet against a road team in a game 7 because of Luka's track record. In that situation, Luka Doncic's best player on the floor. Luka Doncic will control that game or that situation. Look, they could win it in 6. They could lose it in 6 or 7.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. This series is a long way from over. There's a lot of talent on the part of the Clippers. And Kawhi is going to get better, you would assume, each and every night. That's why it was critical Dallas win that game last night before Kawhi Leonard finds his rhythm. They got the win. I just trust Luka more than any player in this league in 5-minute game, 1 possession, probably outside of Jokic.
Wow.
And I might even say they're to me on the same level. They're going to get something good for their team because they're too strong, they're too smart, and then they can beat you as a scorer or passer. And LeBron's obviously in that category as well, but not at the level of scoring that Jokic and Luka can win any one-on-one matchup. So I just trust them. And the pieces that they got to plug in to fill in gaps they needed, particularly with Gafford and P.J. Washington, who was absolutely huge last night. The 2 corner 3s he hit probably saved the day for the Mavericks last night because they weren't great offensively. And that gives me actually hope for Dallas. If you're a Dallas fan, they haven't come close to playing their best offensively. Now, one of those games where Luka's 15 for 22 is coming, and that's what we're going to wait to see. But look, this is going to be a slugfest.
All right, final thing. Indiana, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Series started last night, if you go based on the road team winning starting a series. No Giannis. How are we feeling about that series?
I picked the Pacers to win the series, and I actually got a lot of heat from Milwaukee fans because I said I might have picked them even if Giannis was 100% healthy coming in because of the troubles they gave them in the regular season. And I don't necessarily go by that, but in this case I do because stylistically it's a problem for Milwaukee because they play multiple bigs. They're not that fast changing ends of the floor. And when Indiana gets to their pace, they do things like they did last night. And I loved the intent they played with last night at the start of the game. They definitely were playing a slower pace, back on their heels. Maybe it was the game one emotion. You had some guys with some nerves going through it. Maybe that emotion in that environment. And then Lillard hit them with a 35-point barrage. So they got them off their game. They were on their game last night. And there's no matchup for Siakam. in this series. There's no matchup for him, and he's showing that time and time again. I like Indiana still to win the series, but Giannis is going to have a lot to say about that, obviously.
A two-minute report is in. No mistakes.
No mistakes.
You did a good job.
Perfection.
We don't have to vomit at the table and then ask the waiter or waitress what happened that we shouldn't have ordered the meal.
Well, you don't actually issue the report till the team is out of the arena. So we'll see what you guys say about me behind my back.
Tim Legler. You'll see him on Get Up and First Take, of course. America's analyst. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. The 2005 Heisman Trophy winner. ESPN learned today that the Heisman Trust will announce Wednesday the formal reinstatement of the trophy to Bush amid what is called an enormous change in the college football landscape. As part of the decision Wednesday, the Heisman Trust is returning the Heisman Trophy to Bush and a replica to USC. Bush will again be invited to all future Heisman Trophy ceremonies beginning in the 2024 season. The NHL playoffs continue on ESPN as the Maple Leafs host the Bruins, followed by the Golden Knights visiting the Stars. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. SportsCenter is brought to you by La Quinta. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can answer critical emails or simply unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Heading to Detroit today. Some of us have already gone. Michelle, Chris, what happened to you guys? They are en route to Detroit. Our draft coverage starting tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, brought to us by True Green as well as ESPN Bet. All right, a couple of things to get everybody.
Wait,
yes?
Did you just say 2005?
I'm terrible at sports centers. I was not hired to do sports centers.
I've never heard a single person refer to 2005 as
2005. At no point did I mean to say that. I told you guys me having to do the sports center was going to be a major problem. Reading on the air, not my strength in any capacity. I know the boss man, Justin Craig, is back there. I wish somehow he didn't hear that, but unfortunately he probably did. I was not hired to do this. I am not good at that. I apologize, Christine Lisi, and every SportsCenter anchor out there. I have shamed your name, and I apologize.
What was your favorite Patriots title, 2003?
You don't think anyone says 20-something?
Not anyone normal.
No, not a chance.
Well, I didn't claim to be normal. I mean, somebody has to say that. No, maybe not. Okay. All right. Now back to matters at hand here. So, yes, Heisman Trophy going back to Reggie Bush. Big story. Pete Thamel broke it today. Also, obviously, NFL draft coming your way tomorrow. A couple of notes to update you on around that. Drake May joined us this morning, said that he eats ketchup with steak and eggs. That has created a little bit of a social media storm now at Unsports ESPN on that one, as a lot of people are not happy with the idea that he eats ketchup with steak, and they have taken him off of their draft board. In addition, Hembo, who you normally hear 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time with Greeny here on ESPN Radio, put together a list of hits and misses over the course of the last 20 drafts, starting from 2000 to 2019, There you go. There's the 20. And Adam Schefter tweeted about it this morning. ESPN content producer at Paul Hembo calculated the percentage of first-round picks that hit or miss based upon whether that player signed a second contract with the team that drafted them. The data encompasses the 20 drafts spanning 2000 to 2019. Here are the positional hit rates. Number one is center. Number two, offensive tackle. Number three, guard. Number four, linebacker. And number five, quarterback. 46%. 26 hits, 30 misses, a total of 56 quarterbacks drafted in the first round in that time. Now, overall, there were only 12 centers, the number one hit rate, drafted in the first round during that span. And this is where this gets interesting, because when we think about what's going to happen on Thursday night, there is a chance we are going to see six quarterbacks drafted in the first round. I have gone as far to say as we could potentially see six in the top 16, the top half of the draft. So based on Hembo's data, less than three of them will be successful with the team that they are on. Meaning, let's just call it two of those quarterbacks will get a second contract with the team that they are on, which means one of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and the aforementioned Drake May will not make it with the team that they are on. Now, obviously, context matters, circumstances matters for all of these teams that drafted these quarterbacks. Were they ready for that quarterback? Did they have a good surrounding cast? Did they have to play right away? If you go deeper into that, I am curious as to how many of those first-round quarterbacks that had to play right away versus the ones that did not have to play right away in terms of the success rate. If you look around the league at some of the most successful guys, sure, they go in opposite directions there, right? We have people like C.J. Stroud playing right away. But then there's Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, people that did not have to play right away. So as I determine success rate, I personally believe it is more likely that a quarterback gets that second contract with that respective team if they don't play right away. If they're not going to play in the 2024 season and instead they start in 2025 or dare I say 2026, which is extremely unlikely. And unless you're a team, let's say like the Rams, who could potentially draft a quarterback when they have Matthew Stafford and Stafford says, I want to play this year and next year and then I'm going to be done. And 2026 would be the first year you're even in essence quote unquote eligible to play. That to me, the success rate would be way greater around a first round quarterback if they don't have to play right away. So am I downgrading Caleb Williams because he has to play right away for the Bears? No, but you better be great quickly because teams have a quick hook, including the Bears, who we know got rid of Justin Fields in favor of Caleb Williams. Adam Schefter reports said the Steelers are not going to pick up the fifth-year option for over $20 million for Justin Fields. But that's when you look at a guy like May, who could go third overall, whether it's to New England, Jacoby Brissett, to the Giants, Daniel Jones, or to the Vikings, Sam Darnold. There is a chance that that guy does not play right away. And I actually look at that as a major plus. I wish we lived in a world in the NFL where a guy like Caleb Williams could walk into the Chicago Bears and not have to be the savior upon arrival. Is he going to be the savior? Yes, we know he's going to be the savior. He has to be, or everybody there loses their job. But what if hypothetically they had somebody there that could just play instead of him right off the bat? I think the success rate would be way greater for a guy like Caleb Williams if he didn't have to play right away. It's why that I always go back to draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one, because they don't have to play right away and they can wait and they can develop over the course of time. I'd be excited if my team drafted Drake May at three because of the fact that he won't have to play right away. I assume in Washington, even though I believe Marcus Mariota is there, I assume Jaden Daniels has to play right away. But if you told me that Jaden Daniels gets drafted by Washington and Marcus Mariota, just for argument's sake, is the starter for the Commanders the first five games of the season, as dumb as this may sound, I would actually assume that Jaden Daniels has a better chance of success if it's five games. Literally, that's it. Five games. They go 1-4, 2-3, whatever it is with Marcus Mariota, and then he goes in. I would assume that when the success rate chart comes up that Hembo put out there, that he would be in favor of those that have been successful, that would get the second contract with that team because he doesn't have to rush.
So Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics did an article last year before the draft. Mm-hmm. So he went back to 2011, and he had said there was 38 quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2011.
Okay.
Right? Out of those 38, they made almost 1,900 starts. They pretty much their record was 500.
Okay.
Out of those 38, only Patrick Mahomes has led his team to a quarterback to a Super Bowl. Out of those 38, only 11 were ever given a second deal with the team that was drafted them, that actually drafted them. So I don't. I think it's telling you that you better not play these guys, right? Like,
is it telling you, Nuno, don't play them, or is it telling you don't draft a quarterback in the first round?
Well.
So which I could not avoid drafting a quarterback in the first round. If I love J.J. McCarthy and he's sitting there at six for your Giants, and I know Daniel Jones can play. Like, Daniel Jones can absolutely play in this league. He's just not going to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't have to play J.J. McCarthy right away. I'd be so tempted to draft him, and I'd start Daniel Jones the whole year. And I think I'd have success with J.J. McCarthy.
So here's what I'm concerned and using my Giants. So, okay. Dan Graziano just dropped his, you know, what I'm hearing, you know, draft news, that type of thing. And he talks about the Giants. And he says Giants love May, right, and what he's hearing when it comes to the Giants. But he also says they like Penix, where that they might actually be willing to take him as high as six. So, like...
Well, Shefty told us earlier this week that Atlanta at eight for Penix. And I think that, like, if Atlanta takes Penix at eight, let's use that as an example. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. If Atlanta takes him at eight, the first year he would probably be the full-time starter for them would be 2026. And I will tell you, based on that, he will have a great career. But if he had to start in 2024, I'm not sure. But if you tell me a guy who league execs think is that good if healthy, and Michael Penix Jr., would have the opportunity to have his first time as a full-time starter in this league in 2026 to sit there behind Kirk Cousins for 2 years, I think the guy would be a star. Absolute star.
Well, what about, I mean, we saw with C.J. Stroud, everyone thinks that the Bears, will have enough around Caleb Williams and Ryan Poles trying to do his thing of like, hey, you tune in on Thursday and everyone should tune in, ESPN Radio, ESPN TV, ABC. But like, don't you think that situation is set up for Caleb Williams?
No, because everything you just said about all of those first rounders since 2011 with Warren Sharp and all of the success rate or lack thereof that Hembo put out there would indicate that people like CJ Stroud and Joe Burrow are actually not the norm. That upon arrival, fixing a franchise is really not the norm. Again, the one interesting part of this with Caleb specifically to the Bears, and I always bring it up and I'm going to continue to bring it up, it's not their pick. They're not that bad. They won seven games last year, right? So that's where, again, maybe Caleb Williams could be the exception, not the rule, of upon arrival be great. Because that he's walking into a seven-win team, not a one-win team, and not a two-win team. Again, as Nuno mentioned, the coverage of ESPN's draft coverage here on ESPN Radio brought to us by True Green and ESPN Bet. We are going to be at ESPN Bet tomorrow in Detroit. Coming up, unsportsmanlike moments of the day. We're unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, we are headed to Detroit tomorrow, but some of our ESPN teammates are already there, including Field Yates. Does a tremendous job with the draft podcast. He's got his live event in Detroit tomorrow. Go to his Twitter at Field Yates for more information on that. But, yeah, he was involved in an interesting moment in Detroit that was discussed this morning. ESPN's Get Up.
Back on Get Up, and I interrupt the proceedings to present my absolute favorite thing of the morning. Shefty, will you please explain to everyone what this post you put up yesterday is?
Yes, Greeny. Yesterday was Field Yates' 37th birthday, and we were walking to go tape a podcast, but we had to walk through the ESPN Bet Casino to get there. And as we were walking through the casino, that woman there was doing her job enforcing what it says on the sign, must be 21 years old to enter. And so Field was coming in. She stopped him and asked to see his ID 16 years after he turned 21. But that there is a reason why Marcus Spears calls Field Yates babyface. And you have it right there.
Happy birthday, Yates.
And by the way, ma'am, you did the right thing. I would have carded him too.
Me too.
Hey, Phil, by the way.
Thank you, RC.
You look crispy in that picture. I just got to tell you. Look crispy.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you all saying that. It actually got worse this morning, guys. This morning I walked over to get a coffee at Starbucks, and the barista asked me if my parents allowed me to have caffeinated beverages. She offered me decaf coffee instead. I said, no, I'm of age to drink caffeine. So maybe a little light on the caffeine, but it got me through the morning at the very least.
Okay, now we're talking. Happy birthday, Yates.
All right, well done by Field at the end there. Would you card him? Does Field Yates, who does have a baby face, as Damian Woody says, is he someone you would card, guys?
Well, as a former bouncer, yes, I would card him.
Wait, you were a former bouncer, Pat?
Yeah. I was a bouncer at the Jersey Shore. I carded people all the time.
Wait, I need to know details on this. So regardless of what they look like in terms of your guesstimation on their age, do you card everyone?
No, not everyone. I mean, there are some people, like, you wouldn't get carded. Sorry. Nuno wouldn't get carded. Javonte would get carded.
Yeah, Javonte is young looking. Javonte, to your credit, I think that it is a compliment to say somebody is young looking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it is.
But once you reach a certain age, like Field literally turned 37 yesterday. Once you reach 37, and great hoodie jacket combo there, Field, love it. Once you are turning 37, is it then an insult or a compliment to get carded?
I feel like it's a compliment, but an inconvenience.
Why is it just because you have to take out your
ID? Yeah, because then you're like, oh, I'm 37. Why do I like, come on, man. Like, But you're also like, at least I still look the part.
Mm. All right, well, congratulations, I think, and happy birthday to Field. All right, next one on Sportsmanlike Moments of the Day, things that are weird, quirky, etc. I think we may have to stop the thank you tweets. Like, I'm all for a thank you note. I'm all for a thank you when somebody deserves a thank you. The New York Jets yesterday put out a thank you to Zach Wilson. I mean, let's be honest. The Jets have absolutely nothing to thank Zach Wilson for, and Zach Wilson may have less to thank the New York Jets for. Pat Costello, every single day at 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time, you run a segment called I'm Over It, where you give items in around sports, the world, and entertainment that you are over. Can I offer an I'm over the thank you tweets for people that clearly don't deserve the thanks? Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. This is ridiculous. What are we doing? What are they saying? Thanks for throwing all those interceptions. Like, thanks for opening the door for us to get Rodgers. What are we thanking him for?
Oh, that's interesting. Thanks for opening the door for us to get Rodgers. Like, if not for you being terrible.
Thanks for being so bad, we landed Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and we were so bad at drafting you that we had an obvious opening to bring in Aaron Rodgers, who's played four plays for them, and yeah.
If it goes sideways, as a lot of people expect with the Rodgers this year, like, let's say he is healthy and they struggle, do they, like, thanks for nothing? Like, do they thank him again? Because, like, because you were so bad, we had to go get Rodgers, who, by the way, the last 2 years, it's been useless for us, so this is all your fault.
What's the worst possible thank you tweet a team could give out for the last few years? Like, did the Sixers give one to Ben Simmons? A thank you, Ben?
No, I hope not.
I bet you they did. What is the worst? People can tweet at us at UnsportsESPN, at Evco Radio. The worst possible thank you tweet that a team could give. I'm saying, like, for on-field stuff. I don't mean off-field stuff.
Like, thanks to James Harden on the Nets?
That's a good one. James Harden from the Nets. Is there another one that would be, Kyrie from the Nets?
I mean, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Thank you, Antonio Brown.
Oh, my God.
with
the picture of him shirtless running off the field against the Jets. Thank you, Antonio Brown. The day they cut him, the Tampa Bay Bucks sending out a tweet saying thank you to Antonio Brown. That would be amazing, Jovante. I don't know that anyone could top that. One more unsportsmanlike moment. This is now blowing up social media. So Drake May, UNC quarterback, was on with us today. He's going to be drafted in the top three of the draft. You can listen back to the interview in full, ESPN app, wherever podcasts are found. And we asked Drake May about his Will Levis quarterback of the Titans moment, you know, where he has the mayo in the coffee and eats the banana whole, et cetera, his weird kind of food or life takes. And here's what Drake May said.
I mean, I eat ketchup with my steak and eggs. That's about it. I don't do much, you know, hopefully don't do too many, you know, weird things. But I eat ketchup with steak. I know it's kind of offensive to chefs, but it's kind of, I grew up in the South a little bit. I know it's disappointing, but that's what it is.
Ketchup with steak and eggs. Again, ketchup with eggs is very common. Ketchup with steak insults people. There are many people now tweeting that he is either on or off their draft board. Dan Orlovsky and Damian Woody all in on him. They have tweeted about it. I've seen other people, football analyst Ross Tucker, put out there off his draft board all of a sudden that he will not draft Drake May because of this. We didn't know we were going to start a firestorm. I thought Smalls had a good comparison. I mean, Mahomes puts ketchup on everything. It could be an indicator of good things to come. Do we question the Drake May decision-making, guys? He was as perfect and flawless and as polished as could be by way of an interview with us today. But does this ketchup take make you question him?
Yeah, because it probably means he likes his steak well done, and that's just unacceptable. Because that's the only way you're eating ketchup with it, is if it's dry.
I just thought of, can you imagine if the Chargers did a thank you, Eli Manning?
The Raptors, thank you, Jontay Porter.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Wow. Good job, Mark Morales. He just put up the thank you, Ben Simmons, from the Sixers back in the day. Greeny coming up next. We are on to Thursday from Detroit. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.